Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you we can come around together and study your word. And Lord, we want to remember these special requests today. We do pray for the Pruitt family today and in the coming days. We thank you, Lord, that you're able to comfort them and give them all sufficient grace. And I pray that you would do that. Pray for David and Robert, their dad, that you would encourage them, especially in these times. And may you be glorified through all of these events around the funeral. And Lord, may there even be some come to you and become your children because of these events, I pray. And do think of Whitney as she's really struggling physically and the doctors aren't sure what's wrong. Pray you'd give them direction, that they would know how to help her. For Betsy Hartman, Lord, recovering from surgery. Linda with sugar issues, trying to get that under control. Think of this one that Neil mentioned that had a family member pass away this morning. For Pam's mom, she'll be having surgery Wednesday. For Tabitha, Lord, you know about this knee, this mass now behind her knee. Lord, little four-year-old girl, it's a great need. And Lord, we just ask you to touch and work and think of Richard also as he's been struggling. Lord, just ask you to meet all these needs and touch these folks and minister to them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. By now, you should have found Luke chapter 2, I hope. If you haven't, help yourself. How many of you have finished your Christmas shopping? Some of you don't buy anything for anybody, so that was easy, wasn't it? How many of you haven't started yet? Haven't started yet? Good. There we go. There's some men right there. Notice that was all men, I think, that raised their hand. Christmas, obviously, is about giving. We do a lot of, we give gifts, obviously. We have a birthday offering for Jesus. Hey, Lou, come on in, buddy. Good to see you this morning. And we think of Christ, of course. God, the Father, gave Christ to us at that first Christmas time. A lot of things about giving. Now, for the next several weeks, Lord willing, we're going to be studying some gifts that were given at the first Christmas time some 2,000 years ago. And we want to start this morning by looking at the shepherds in Luke chapter 2 and see the gift that they brought. You say, what gift did they bring? Well, we know about the wise men, the magi, and the gifts they brought. Did the shepherds bring gifts? Did they bring something to the Lord Jesus Christ? And indeed they did, and we'll talk about that as we move along. We're in Luke chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 8 and read a little bit here. Chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, here's our setting. There's a great test of faith that's going to occur for some men. And they are identified as shepherds. It's interesting, they were not the religious leaders. Wouldn't you think that if God was going to announce his coming of his son to this world, the Messiah, that he would have gone to the Sanhedrin or the high priest or some of these religious leaders? Didn't do that. I mean, those men would have had great understanding of the Old Testament. Didn't go to them. You think, well, he would have gone to some political leader. I mean, they've got the clout to let people know what's going on and to make sure that his coming is safe and all. Didn't do it. Instead, he comes to shepherds. Men who are not trained biblically necessarily, although it's very possible they were Jews, and they probably were Jews, may very well have been Orthodox Jews or Jews that believed in the Old Testament. We don't know. But in that day, the shepherds were not known to be the higher echelon of society. In fact, one man said that the shepherds were not even allowed to go to court and give testimony because they said they were not educated enough and they weren't very reliable. So these guys are not the upstanding members of the community. In fact, they were just kind of rough and tumble outdoors guys, took care of the sheep. And yet, when the announcement comes, that's who it comes to first. Now, again, I've already mentioned they were probably Jews. We don't really know. Probably knew some of the things. Well, probably if they were Jews, were looking for the Messiah, looking for the Messiah to come back, fulfill the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant. But here they are, and they're out herding their sheep. And I'd like you to try to put yourself. Now, we live in a TV age. We're not real good about our imagination. But I'd like you for a moment just to transport yourself mentally to the hillsides of Bethlehem. They're out herding their sheep. It is probably somewhere between April and November. I know that doesn't sit well with you. It could have been December. We don't know. But it's getting a little cold there by then. They're probably not out in the fields. And they're out there, and it's night. It's very dark. They're probably, some of them are sleeping. There may be a few that are keeping watch of their over the sheep. Probably several of them are sleeping. And all of a sudden, boom, this light comes. Now let me ask you, if I'd come to your house last night at 3 o'clock and snuck into your bedroom and took a big spotlight and just whoosh, what would you do? Yeah, that's exactly right. I wouldn't be here today. That's exactly right. I feel the love. I really do. Now, can you imagine how those guys felt? I mean, here they are. They're awakened out of a deep sleep, and a messenger, possibly Gabriel, we don't know. Gabriel had been very busy talking to some other folks, shows up, and this bright light comes, and an angel from heaven. Now, you got to realize, folks, this is not an everyday occurrence. In fact, as far as we know, for 500 years, there had been no appearances of angels publicly. Now, we do know, by the way, that some angels had appeared to some people already. Who were they? Mary and Elizabeth and Joseph. Yes, so some angels had already been around, but these guys knew nothing about that. So an angel comes on the scene, and then it says, and suddenly there was with the angels a multitude. That's an interesting word. The word is plethora. Now, you know that word, don't you? That's exactly right. Very good. A whole bunch, in case you're wondering, of angels show up, a plethora. There's a good word for it to use this week. That'll impress them. A plethora, a bunch of them. And they all show up, and they come and they bring a message. Now, can you imagine, what kind of posture do you think these shepherds were in at that point? Well, looky there, a bunch of angels, right? You think? Think they were standing? I don't think they were. I know what I would have been doing. I've been laying on the ground. I've been kneeling down. Oh, baby, this is something big. I mean, can you imagine what this was going on here? And so the messenger comes to them, and he says in verse 10, the angel said unto them, fear not. Yeah, why do you have to say fear not? Well, because the verse before, they were sore afraid. And you would have been, and so would I. And he says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Here's a joyous message. A message not just to the Jews, but a message to all people. And so they bring this message, and here's the message. For unto you is born this day in the city of David what's the next word? A Savior. Folks, this is the greatest moment in human history. A Savior is born. Mankind is lost. Mankind is in sin. I had prepared another lesson this morning just in case that I had to teach in the auditorium. And the thought, a part of it was, Jesus was born to die. Why? Well, one was because we're under the bondage of death. And every man, every person here, death is a reality. It's going to come. And without salvation, you will die and you will go to hell. We are lost in sin. What kind of message do you need? Well, you've just won $100,000. Well, that'd be nice, but how long is that going to last? Couple days. Wouldn't last long. Hey, the greatest need of mankind is salvation. And here's the message. Here is joy. A Savior is born, one who can save people from their sin. Now, you know, I think sometimes when we present salvation, we kind of get off the beaten path. And we go to people and they say, oh, your marriage is falling apart. You need the Lord. Now, do they need the Lord? Sure. But is that the primary reason the Lord came? No. We say, oh, you're living an unfulfilled life. You need to get saved. Well, now that can help, but is that the primary reason he came? No. Why did Christ come, folks? Because we're sinners, and we need to be saved. I mean, that's what the angel told Mary, that Jesus was going to be his name. Why? For he shall save his people from their sin. What a message these guys heard. And they come to him and he said, he is a Savior, notice, which is Christ. Now, what is that word? What is the Old Testament word for Christ? Messiah, very good. Messiah. The Messiah, the one that's been promised, is coming. Christ, the Messiah. And notice the next word, Christ the Lord. That word is used over 6,000 times in the Old Testament, and it means supreme ruler of all. What was the angel saying? This baby that is born is whom? God. This is God. God has been born in flesh. The songwriter said, "What child is this that laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthem sweet while shepherds watch their keeping? This is Christ the King, while whom shepherds guard and angels sing, haste, haste to bring him along, the babe, the son of Mary." Jesus Christ is God. And he comes and they say, "All right, guys," and he's going to be born in the city of David, of course, which, as we know, is the city of Bethlehem. We talked about this last week in Sunday school. 700, isn't this amazing? Now, we have just lost the wonder of the Word of God and fulfilled prophecy, folks. But 700 years before Christ was born, it was prophesied he would be born in Bethlehem, in a very specific city. Where was he born? He was born in Bethlehem, just like the prophet said, 700 years previously. Folks, the Word of God is true. But what an amazing thing. He goes on and he said in verse 12, "And this shall be a sign unto you, shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger," which is a feeding trough. Wait a minute, I thought this was Christ the Lord. I thought this was God. And he's going to be in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And again, when you think of the manger scene and Christ laying in this manger, what do you think of? Be honest. What kind of a scene do you think of? You know, I think we think of this pristine, beautiful barn. You know, fresh cut straw permeating the air. The animals quietly lowing over here. It's just a beautiful piece, beautiful smell. Smells wonderful. That's exactly right. This was a barn. This was a barn, folks. And to think that the angel said, "Look, guys, here's the revelation. God is being born in a barn." Thank you, William. Go back to eating, all right? Now, here's the revelation that the angels made to these guys. Now, let's be honest. What would you do? What would you do? Now, before we get all up and spiritual and say, "Well, we would have left the sheep. We would have gone to Bethlehem. I mean, Christ." How do we respond when God's Spirit speaks to us during a message? And the Spirit of God says, "You need to go forward and pray." How do we respond when God's Spirit says, "You know what, you need to start work on that bus route. You need to be a bus captain. You need to get your CDL and drive that bus. You need to sing in the choir. You need to be an usher. You need to do this, you need that." How do we respond to that? Before we say, "Well, yes, we would have gone," you know, as deeply spiritual people, "when God speaks to me, I always obey." What'd they do? Well, you know the story. And it goes on and it says, "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them to heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let's go back to sleep." Right? "Let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Isn't that amazing? What did these guys have? They had faith, didn't they? They believed the divine revelation. And folks, faith always leads to what? When you believe God, it will always lead you to action. That's exactly right. Think of Hebrews chapter 11. Noah believed God, and what did he do? Built an ark. Abraham believed God, and he offered Isaac. There's several about Abraham. We could look at that passage. We don't have time this morning, but we could look there. When divine revelation is received and believed, it always leads to action. These guys believed, and they took off for Bethlehem. And they show up at the manger. Can you imagine? Do you see them coming in? What do you think they did? Well, it says in verse 16, "They came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." I don't know. we don't know what they did, but I kind of see them coming in. Oh, wow, this is it. Hey, boy, you can really, man, this is God in the flesh. This is so exciting, man. Oh, Mary, you won't believe what happened. We were up there, or they didn't know her name. Hey, lady, oh, yeah, finally, they introduce themselves. Hi, I'm a shepherd. What's your name? And so they meet them, and they're so excited. This is wonderful. I mean, boy, you won't believe, these angels came to us, and they were on the shepherd. We were watching the sheep, and these angels came in. Oh, man, it's bright light from heaven, and we fell down. And they said, oh, don't be afraid. God is born in Bethlehem, and here we are. Boy, this is great stuff. Boy, they were excited. You think they kind of came in? Well, this angel came and we're here and hope it all works out. And I don't know. I mean, it's kind of. You think they act like the normal Christian today? Well, we're here for Sunday school again. Well, that food wasn't very good. I wish I didn't, you know. Oh, boy, it's hard being a Christian, you know. I don't think so. You see, folks, when God speaks, and we obey, we act, some good things going to happen. And it's exciting to me to see what these guys did. Look in verse 17. And when they had seen it, they went home very quietly and went back to herding the sheep and told no one because they were afraid they would offend someone. And when they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. What do you think the shepherds did when they went back? Man, you're not going to believe this. You're not going to. Let me tell you what happened tonight. I mean, oh, it was exciting. Boy, these angels showed up, and they remembered, and we went, and we saw the Lord, and we saw God in the flesh. Oh, it was exciting. Jesus Christ is born. He's there in Bethlehem, right there in the manger. Boy, it was exciting. And you, let me tell you what happened. You see, folks, When you get divine revelation and you obey, which brings about action, you'll be excited about something. Let me give you a great illustration. There's a man in our church who I'd say is probably in his 60s, and the Lord has just really been working in his heart lately about being a witness. And he is just so excited. When we had Ed Carter come, he went out all over ETSU and all over John City. And he said, I got to have something to get my conversation started. So he takes those flyers and he says, hey, let me invite you. And then he gives them the gospel. Well, this last week he took probably a couple hundred Christmas cantata flyers. And he went out and handed them out. He said, oh, you wouldn't believe this one place I went to. He just stopped me. I was coming out of the auditorium. He just stopped me. He said, you wouldn't believe, man, I handed those things all the way from Boone's Creek to Johnson City. He said, boy, it was great. I went to this one place, and the lady said, oh, wow, I've got people interested. Can I have some more? And he said, oh, sure. And he's going to start giving them sermon CDs to her. And man, he was so excited about being a Christian and doing something for God. When was the last time you were excited about doing something for God? You know what I find? The most excited Christians are the ones that are doing the most for the Lord. You know the worst ones? Well, they ain't done much for me in this church lately. Oh, I tell you, being a Christian's hard. Well, I'd do something, but you know I might fail. People might laugh at me. And you know what the people that aren't doing anything do? Did you hear that note that guy sang? Boy, that was bad, wasn't it? Why aren't you in the choir? Well, you know, I don't really have time for that kind of thing. They sit back and they have the gift of criticism. And the Christian life is so hard. And it's so difficult. And they've lost the joy of their salvation. You see, folks, we have a great opportunity at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church because we hear truth week in and week out. But with opportunity comes great responsibility. You cannot sit here in this church and hear truth week in and week out and not be changed. It will change you. And you will either harden your neck to it and say, I ain't going to do that. Or you will say, right, I need to change. Here's what I need to do and I'm going to obey. It always amazed me when I was working with college and career and with the youth. And all too often, the kids who were raised in the church, who heard the truth and never responded to it, by that time, you couldn't get them to do anything. There was no excitement about the things of God. And there were some times when kids came from other churches where they hadn't been taught and they hadn't had things they could do to serve the Lord. And they came in, they were so excited. This is great stuff. Wow, this is what. You see, folks, you cannot hear the truth day in and day out and not be changed. You're going to be changed, either for the good or for the bad. Now, these guys, folks, had divine revelation from God. God spoke to them, and by faith, they obeyed, and they acted, and now they're telling everybody about it. They're excited about it. I like to get around new believers, don't you? I mean, they're just so excited. It was exciting last night in the cantata. We had two children come forward. Lake and Brown had invited a classmate to come, and the girl came forward weeping and trusted Christ. Another girl that comes to our church came forward last night, excited about that. But I love to be around new Christians. I mean, everything's good. I mean, they've just been saved. They're so excited. Sometimes I don't like being around people who've been saved 30, 40 years. Well, boy, it's hard being a Christian. Hey, if your Christian life is boring and dull and sad, let me encourage you, do something for God. Listen to God's revelation and by faith obey it. Get out and do something for God. You begin to step out by faith, you'll see God do some things. And you start seeing God do some things, and God will be real to you, and you'll be excited about being a believer. Most of us haven't seen God do anything in our life. You know why? We're sitting in a chair. God doesn't need to do anything for somebody sitting in a chair. But you step out by faith and do something for God like these shepherds, and I tell you what, folks, it'll be exciting. It'll be exciting. And so here these guys, they come back, and man, they are pumped. And they're telling everybody what happened. This is good stuff. They are excited. Now, what else happened? Not only that, as they come back in verse 20, it says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising Mary. All right? Glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen and as it was told unto them. These guys come back, folks, and their hearts are full of praise to God. They're just excited about what God's doing. I appreciate Linda's testimony this morning about what God's doing in her sister's life. I tell you, folks, when you step out by faith and start doing something for God, and God blesses and God works, you're going to be praising God. I'm excited about what the Lord's doing here in our church, and I think something that kind of showed our church's spiritual temperature was our Thanksgiving praise service. I have been to praise services like that where we're just giving testimonies and things, and it's all about people. And the testimony is about this deep. And usually they start out, well, you know, I've had a terrible time, and boy, this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and boy, it's rough, and the Lord brought. Well, we had people reading Scripture and quoting Scripture and praising God, and it was just wonderful. That's how it ought to be. Look, folks, when you will say, all right, God has spoken to me, I'm going to obey by faith, and I'm going to do it, God's going to start doing some things in your life, and you're going to start praising God. And the gift that the shepherds brought, folks, was a gift of praise. And they are glorifying God and talking about how great God is and what God has done for them, and it's exciting. Now, faith will lead to praise. What do you think happened to the Jews? They just come out of Egypt, and God miraculously spared them at the Red Sea, opened the Red Sea. And again, we don't have a good picture of that either. There could have been 2 to 3 million people. We think of this little, you know, this is like the Red Sea, you know. And in one night, they all got through. Well, how'd they do that? I mean, when God opened the Red Sea, folks, it had to be a big old pathway. Now, and then, of course, the Egyptian army comes through, and they're all destroyed. And what did those people do when they sat on the shore and watched all that happen? Well, I tell you what, I wish we were back in Egypt. Now, they did that later on. What did they do when all those Egyptians were destroyed? You may know. They had a praise service. And they were praising God. They were thanking God for all he had done and how he had spared them. Now let me ask you a question. What about if they had said, that water's standing up now, but I get halfway through the baby, it's coming down, I'm a dead man, I'm not going through there. Would there have been a praise service? Faith When God reveals himself and by faith we accept it and we act, God does great things and there's a praise service. Now, by the way, there's a great example in the book of Acts about two guys in a prison who did the praising before God worked. Now, let's just be honest with our folks. I mean, if we got in thrown in jail today for preaching God's word or for handing out a tract, what would we be doing in jail? Well, try to serve God. Man, I give out a tract, and look how God treats me. Gets me thrown in jail. Here I am. This is terrible. Cable TV, you know, on the wall. And this is just really rough, you know, and three meals a day. And I'm not saying that jail's all that great a place. You can testify to that. But it's a whole lot better than it was when Paul was in there. And what were they doing in jail, folks? Had a praise service. How could they do that? Because they believed God. They had faith that God was in control, God knew what he was doing, and God was going to bring them out. And of course, their praise brought the house down, and had a wonder. That's a, well, anyway. Great story, of course, about a man named H.G. Spafford. You know the story. He was alive during the time of the Chicago fire. He was a great businessman, and during the fire, he lost everything. He, to get his family away from that situation, he decided to send his wife and daughters to Europe. And as you know the story, on the way over, the ship sank. And he received a telegram from his wife when she reached Europe, and it's with two words. It said, saved alone. Now, how do we respond to that, folks? And you know the story as he was on that ship traveling to Europe, and the captain called him out and said, this is the place where the ship went down. Can you imagine the faith that would allow a man to write, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. How can that be? He had divine revelation and he believed it and it led him to praise. Now, by the way, when we praise God, we glorify God. We're giving an accurate reflection of God. And guess what? When that happens, when this whole cycle takes place, when the revelation occurs and you have faith and you act and God blesses and you praise, guess what you've just done? You have fulfilled the purpose of God for your life. Because God says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. In everything you do, give a proper reflection of who God is. And that's exactly what these shepherds did, folks, that very first Christmas. They praised and they glorified God. Now, why did it happen? Because when God spoke, they obeyed. When God spoke, they obeyed. They got to see a wonderful thing. And they were praising and glorifying God. Now, let's start from the end. Let me ask you a question. Can your life be summed up as one that gives a proper view of God? By the way you respond to circumstances, by what you do, by what you say? Are you glorifying God? Well, you say, well, no. All right, let's back up then. It's probably because of a lack of obedience to God's revelation that's been revealed to you. Now look, when God speaks, folks, we need to obey. By faith, we need to obey. It may be about giving. It may be about serving. It may be about doing. I don't know what it might be. But folks, when God speaks, we need to obey. By faith, obey God. And when you do that, you're going to begin to see God do some mighty things in your life. And when God does that, you're going to start praising him and giving him glory. And your whole purpose in life has been fulfilled. Now, you think about the shepherds during this season. I don't want you to think of this cycle. Revelation, faith, action. God does something great. Praise and glory to God. That is the cycle we ought to have in our life, folks. And it all pivots about faith and obedience. Let's pray. Lord, We do thank you for the story of the shepherds. Lord, help us during this Christmas season, I pray, to even be thinking about these things. And Lord, as you speak to our hearts, God, help us to obey you, to do your will, that we'll see you do mighty things in our life, and we'll praise you and give you glory, and our purpose in life will be fulfilled. In Jesus' name, amen.